Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bass University Live, BU Live. Hope you're having a great night. I know we are. We're here with John Cox and Pete Glusick, and we're talking a lot of things fishing right now. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment for anything in tonight's show, please hit us up on the IM. If we bring your question or comment through, you will receive a free month of BU Live. Pete, it's been a great show so far. I'm learning a lot. I like these shows because I sit here and I ask really dumb stuff, some okay stuff, but I listen. I'm like a sponge. I suck it all in. Yeah. I like it.
Like Jacob Wheeler.
I learn. Yeah, I learn. I like it. It's nice. Good shit.
It's yes, on Brian. The break, we had a winner.
Oh, what?
Uh-oh. What?
For the grand prize. Which okay. Is Brian, tell him.
$200,000 of Crestliner apparel.
Drum roll, please.
Boats, motors, all John's fishing rods.
$200,000 boat.
We will DM you John Cox's information.
And the winner is Chris D with
Chris
the
D.
answer of
yes.
Takahiro Omori.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
And Jay Dot Yellis.
Hey.
Jay Yellis.
What?
Yeah. Who would have guessed Jay Yellis?
Jay Yellis, no born in Hawaii.
Hawaii. Wow.
Jay Yellis officially born in Hawaii.
Outside the continental United States.
Right. Which is where the second part of this little question comes in.
Uh-oh.
Jay Yellis won the All-American in what state?
Kentucky.
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
Jay Yellis was born in Hawaii and won the All-American in Hawaii.
Take that, Ken Duke.
FLW had the All-American in Hawaii.
Wow.
And Jay Yellis won there.
Are they the same? Are they fishing for the same bass over there? Because in Spain, you were fishing for largemouth in Spain, right?
Largemouth.
But they were in Spain, they were just a little bit different.
They looked different, but they were largemouth. Yeah. They were built different. But Jay Yellis won the All-American in Hawaii.
It's awesome.
In like the 80s. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was a jig with spam on the back of it.
Might have been.
Jig and spam.
Jay Yellis.
The Aloha All-American.
How about Jay Yellis? Talking about Jay Yellis, how about him flip-flopping? He was a bass guy.
Yeah.
When bass started doing all this weird stuff, he went to FLW.
In particular, it was the beer stuff.
It was the beer stuff.
The
you know, bass
stuff.
Was doing Bush and all this. And Jay said, screw this. I'm going to FLW. And then all these years later, Bass came back and said, hey, Jay, you want to come back? Went right back to Bass.
Yep.
How about that?
So he doesn't like Bush beer?
I don't know.
Bush.
I don't know.
Well, he had a problem with alcohol sponsorships of the tournament organization. He doesn't believe in it.
Mm.
And had a problem. I think that's the way
I respectfully disagree.
Well, he just decided not to participate.
Yeah, wow. Well, Major League Fishing right now is doing, they're doing CBD oil?
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh, penis
and dick pills.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Shout out to Russ Lane.
Absolutely. Russ Lane.
Never give up.
Never give up, Russ.
Wow.
Keep that thing straight and hard.
That's right.
2019, here we go.
Shout out to Jay Yellis, another Bass University instructor, by the way.
Right.
You know what I like about, I watched Jay's seminar, and you're like, you get so advanced about like the way that you look at fishing. Jay is so old school, it's like, dude, fish a jig, fish a worm, fish a crankbait, go win the classic.
Yeah.
You know, just super basic, but has won a ton. As a matter of fact, he was the one of the guys that could go toe-to-toe with KVD when KVD was in his heyday.
Yeah.
Jay was winning Angler of the Year titles and classics and tournaments.
Yeah.
Right there toe-to-toe with him before he left.
Yeah.
But I'm taking care of you, Jay. Don't listen to these guys.
No, I love Jay. Love Jay. We've got Jay's book back here, by the way. I don't know if you can spot it, Pete.
I read his book.
You see it?
Yeah,
we got it. Let's bring this out.
There it is. I have that book too. Jay Yellis.
Got Jay's book. Oh, wow, I haven't read that
one. Jay Yellis, amazing book, authored a book. I've read that thing. It's a great book.
And we're giving that away to the winner.
Not giving my book away. Get out of here.
Did you ever get him to sign it?
That one may be signed.
Oh, it is signed.
Yeah.
Look at that.
What is that?
To Harold.
You stole Harold's book.
Signed to Harold.
To Harold. Catch a big one and God bless Jay Yellis.
It's Harry, Howie Long, a.k.a. Big Hal, donated that book to the Ike Foundation. Thank you, Hal. Big Hal.
BTC?
Right.
BTC, we're gonna put a $5,000 fine toward Mike Iaconelli for stealing Harold's Jay Yellis book.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh. Is that Howie Range?
Howie Range.
Is that?
That is Howie Range, a.k.a. Big Hal.
Yeah. I think that was kind of one of those things. Sure, Mike, I'll loan you my Jay Yellis book.
Nah, he donated it. He donated it. It's all good. It's all good.
Well, we have a winner. Great job. Great answer to a tough question. I didn't know that about the All-American. That was unique, Mike Iaconelli.
I have another Ken Duke trivia question.
Oh.
What are we giving away for this prize?
We're going to give away a DT10, a hat, and a Bash U shirt.
Oh,
outstanding.
Wow.
See him just snap that out there like that? So the question is, why won't this mouse work? All right.
Mouse.
And great. In the meantime.
Great question so
we
far.
We have a question from the message board from Anthony Durain, and it goes out to the whole panel. What's your favorite kind of cover to target when you're fishing shallow water?
All right, I'll take it first. John, don't steal my answer. my favorite, by far, my favorite shallow water target is inside grass lines.
Ooh.
They're all over where there's grass, whether it's a reservoir, the winter pool will create an inside edge. Rocks will create an inside edge in certain places. Tide will create an inside edge in certain places. But it gets overlooked. Outside edge is so attractive. Everybody's trying to fish the outside edge. I love getting up on the inside edge. It's my favorite.
It's a good one.
I go on shopping cart. South Jersey specials. That and traffic cone. Shopping cart and traffic cone. Mm.
I think mine would have to be lily pads. I mean, I named my youngest kid after him. And I love fishing, you know, lily pads, pad stems. You know, just when I see them, I feel like, you know, especially sometimes we'll go to a place and they'll just be one patch of pads in the entire lake, you know, a homeowner planted next to their dock or something. And I'll hit them two or three times.
Big fish, too.
Yeah. Just to try to catch a big one. Yeah.
Big fish.
What, you named your youngest?
Yeah. So I didn't know what I was going to call her before she was born. And then before I left, I said, man, if I win this tournament on the Red River out of the lily pads on the final day, you know, we'll name her Lily, and I end up winning the final day out of the lily pads.
That's awesome.
It was unreal. I got like chills when I started catching them. And
wow.
It was unbelievable.
Very cool.
Shout out to Lily.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, lily pads. Cool. Yeah. All right.
I like it.
What do you got, Mike?
I'm going to say anything that's different. Anything that's different. If you're in shallow water and you see something that's irregular and sticks out, throw at it. And so it could be vegetation, it could be shopping cart, it could be a log, anything that's different. Dude, bass love change. So if you see change in shallow water, throw your Senko at it, throw your General at it, you'll get a bite, I promise. Yeah.
Excellent.
You ever find yourself like looking at something like that and thinking that it's like way too obvious to have a fish on it? Like you see just an isolated lay down.
Yeah.
It's money. Of course, there's going to be one. But have you ever, you know, thought it's too good to be true?
I mean, I it's great because like I live out here and I get to see how the fish react a lot. And I just, you know, when you watch, when you're not fishing, you're learning a lot, you know. And dude, these fish out here, they're always on something. They're hardly ever if they're moving, but you know, if they're moving, they're out in open water. But if they're on something, they're feeding, they're ambushing. And that's a good thing to know because you could take that wherever you're at and know that, you know, you need something a little different to attract the fish. And that could be a high spot, a low spot, a piece of wood, a piece of vegetation. They hardly ever just hang out in the middle, dude. They always want to be next to something, you know?
That made me think of something, Mike. So you live on a lake here.
Yes.
Plus you have that little goldfish pond.
Yes.
Which is interesting, right?
It is.
You have a handful of fish in the goldfish pond, a perch, some goldfish, a bass, bluegill.
Bluegill,
And the fish in the pond, in that little tiny goldfish pond, their behavior, whether they're out on the edge looking up or they're hidden, indicates what's going on in the lake, right?
100%. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, we made this koi pond. I got home from a tournament one time, and this is when we just built the house. It was like a year after we built the house. And Becky had a spray painted, like, kidney-shaped weird design on the grass there. And she's like, start digging. And I'm like, oh, fuck, great. She made me dig this hole, and we made this koi pond. And at the time, I never thought, you know, I thought, never thought it would be this amazing thing. But I got to see the behavior of the fish. And literally, I can walk out back and look at the koi pond and tell you whether or not we'll smash them in the lake or not. It's the most unbelievable. I don't know the science behind it, but
barometric pressure and
all that stuff, dude. Light, temperature, barometer. When those fish in that pond are out of the lilies and they're looking and they're like, you know, they're like, feed me, feed me, feed me. Dude, I will go out in the lake and I'll smash their heads in. This morning I came out. It was cloudy. It was rainy. You'd think you would kill them, right?
Yeah.
But it got cold.
Yeah.
And I went out there, and I had my coffee, and I looked down. I never saw a fish. They were all hiding in the lily pads.
Mm. Yeah.
You would not catch them today in my lake. And it's a very interesting theory. And if you look at BASS, MLF, when they're conducting live, it's so true, dude. John, you've seen it. There's periods when they bite and when they don't bite.
How about Rick Klund? How many years he toured, he would sleep by the water.
Oh, yeah. Getting in tune to the fish. There's something to all that, man. You know, and it's amazing. And I get to see it here, you know.
Is your koi pond actually deeper than Palatine?
It's about the same depth. It's about the same depth.
2.5 feet.
Yeah.
Now, John, anybody on Instagram knows you live on a lake, too, on a little pond.
Yeah, and like what Mike's saying, I've noticed the same thing. You go out there, like before we'd go out to the river or Harris or Toho, whatever it is, you know, I'd go out there and I'd throw some bluegill food out. And if the bluegills didn't come up, I was like, we're going to waste our time today. You
big
know?
Problems.
Yeah, but if you threw that food out and the bluegills came in and they were attacking the food, you know that the bass were going to
be crazy.
What so about warm pizza? How does that affect
you? Yeah. So yeah, that was the thing. I don't remember who. Someone told me. I was trying to feed the fish pizza and it wouldn't eat it. And someone's like, why don't you heat it up? And I heated up in the microwave and thing inhaled it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unreal.
You wanted it hot.
Yeah.
What kind of pizza?
It was pepperoni.
All right. I'm in. I'm in for that.
Are we ready for another Bass U battle?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Yes. All right. This will be our final Bass U battle of the evening.
No.
You up for it, Mike?
I'm up. I'm ready.
Are the bluegills looking out of the lily pads?
They're looking.
All right,
wagging her tail.
This is a question I assume from a professional fish head because it's very complicated.
Oh,
it's gonna challenge you guys.
Okay.
Bass U battle. After abnormally, I didn't have to read the Bass U battle part, but that was written, so I just read it. After abnormally record high temperatures to begin the fall. All right, it's been warm. A full week of cooler fall like temperatures have set in. You're on a reservoir in the south that has had rain in 30-plus days. Hasn't had rain in 30-plus days. Drought-type conditions. Okay? And the lake has fallen 2 feet due to that drought.
Mm.
You are dead set on finding them shallow. Where are you going to look first, and how are you going to catch them?
Oh,
ooh.
Ooh,
ooh, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Well, let's be more specific. You're fishing Lake Hartwell in November.
Ooh. Oh, man.
You have 3 days of practice.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Ooh, Hartwell.
Well,
John, you like that lake.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
It's a good lake. Yeah, I like Hartwell. It's a good lake.
It's fun.
Yeah.
You want me to go?
You tell me. You want me to go?
Well, no, I can go.
You want to go?
No, so go. So it's not what I would look for, because the water's falling 2 feet, you know, so your backs of your pockets, your backs of your creeks are going to kind of you know, they're going to kind of pull out of them, and the cooling water, I think, is going to put them up. You know, when you get those cooler nights, some fish seem to really go right to the banks in the mornings and in the evenings, kind of, and to get ready for that, you know, to get in that cooler water. So I would look not in the very backs of the creeks, but more of that midsection rain, and I would concentrate on small coves and smaller pockets on that main, closer to deep water, where those fish can come out of deep water and just and get in some cooler water in the evenings. And yeah. That's okay. Where I would find them.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Looking for the midsection of creeks, fish, you know, seeking the cooling water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the fall.
Yeah.
What's your bait?
Probably top water and a spinnerbait. I'd probably, I'm probably throwing, you know, like either a cane walker or, probably the cane walker.
Walk the dog style.
Yep, walk the dog style.
Walk it, baby.
Yep.
Walk the dog and a spinnerbait. All right, Ike. What say you?
Okay, I'm gonna go, you know, based off of the abnormally warm fall with a little bit of a cold spell. Fish are wanting to transition. They're wanting to move. I mean, that's a natural thing. You know, fall means fish want to feed. Fish follow bait. They have to feed up. But if I'm fishing shallow, I'm looking for the first deep water that touches the shallow banks. And so, you know, when you zoom out or zoom in on your Navionics, I'm looking for that deep water that touches the bank, And a lot of times that's at the mouths of a cove. It's at the mouth of a creek, the mouth of a cove. It's the first place the deep water touches the bank. They're like transition points in the early fall. And for sure, without a doubt, that bite happens first the further up the rivers you go. So in Lake Hartwell, it would be Seneca, Tellico Rivers. That shit's gone on first. But I'm looking for the touch points at the mouths of coves and creeks where that deep water touches if I'm fishing shallow.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Are you in agreement with that answer?
I'm in complete agreement. I think we're on the same pockets. I think Mike's on the corner of the pockets, and I'm in the back.
Yeah,
of
you're a little further back.
Yeah. We're right. We're inside pockets. Of each other. Absolutely. Yeah, we're in the exact same pockets.
All right. Yeah. When you find those places, Mike, how are you catching them?
You know, I'm doing two things. You know, the one is the one that John talked about: spinnerbait, chatterbait. You know, you get those active fish, but the sleeper on Lake Hartwell. Because those touch points are a lot of times where the deep water touches the dock or it touches the bank grass, the bank, the actual bank itself. Throwing a white half-ounce mop jig with a full-sized white chunk on the back. Come on. Let's catch.
I like that.
Super juice.
Yeah. The only reason I said mop jig is because I know Justin asked the question. Yeah.
Justin Kimmel's losing his mind right now.
He just texted me and said, Ike wins.
I would have thought for sure he would have said, Ike could, because he gave away my mop jig pattern. It's
white mop jig.
You know, he should definitely lose. great answers. You know, very, very similar. John, just I love the simplicity of the way you think about fishing.
I agree.
That keeps you it keeps you late to the launch, but you know, it really eliminates a lot of problems. Yeah.
I've honestly been so good lately, but it's because I've had Benji with me, and Benji, you know, 5 o'clock, he's like, get out of bed, let's go, your stuff's in the boat, let's go, I'll drive, you know, and then we get down there, you know, in time, but. I don't know if I'm going to have him next year, so I'm kind of worried.
I love Benji. Remember, yeah. I was telling you, BTC, I'm like, I can't remember the name of John's friend that we stayed with. I was like, Scooby-Doo.
You did say that. You said Scooby, Shaggy.
It was a dog name. Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a dog name.
You did say that. Yeah. Benji.
I'm like, that's it, Benji. Remember that movie?
You're right, Pete. That did happen.
Yep. Anyway, I love the simplicity. You know, I love the Mike, obviously extremely detailed. But man, I got to give you massive bonus points for giving away professional fish heads go-to bait. Extra points for the white mop jig with the trailer shot. Ike wins that challenge. Yay.
1-1.
Oh, that's funny stuff. But and I actually screwed up the question because I read too far down because the Lake Hartwell question's next. And I'm just going to ask it to you guys.
Well, hold on. Before you do that, can I real quick, and I hardly ever do this in a BU Live, but I do want to give a shout out to one thing. Lowrance Sea Mapping, which is a mapping technology that lets you shade your depth zones. If you use Lowrance, get the sea map, because this year in Major League Fishing, basically what I did is I would shade a different color to every like 2 or 3 foot of contour, and I can see where deep water touched the bank. Yeah. It's so key, dude. If you're a Hummingbird guy, you've used that already. If you're a Lowrance guy, try the sea mapping, because it really shows you where deep water touches the bank. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mike Acanelli.
Thank you.
You're fishing Lake Hartwell in November, right? It's kind of bled in. I didn't realize. You have 3 days of practice. What's your plan of attack for each day of practice? This question is sent in by every angler fishing the national championship in just a few weeks. What's your plan? What's your plan in November?
Ooh. Man, good one.
Well, for me, I'm gonna ride around, especially like in the mornings and in the evenings, and I'm gonna try to find what arm's got the most shad in it, you know, most activity on the surface.
Shad and blueback.
Yep. Right. Shad and blueback.
Looking for life.
Yeah. Looking for life. Right. Yeah. And then I'm gonna, you know, hopefully have that dialed in by the, you know, and then I'm gonna just fish a lot, and I'm gonna spend most of my time in that creek arm or whatever, and try to figure out something.
Awesome. How about you, Mike?
I'd agree with that. I mean, November, Hartwell, it's all about bait fish. It's about shad. It's about bluebacks. So I'd agree with John on that. I would add two things to that real quick. I would add do not sleep on vertical cover. So all the bridge pilings, every single bridge piling in Lake Hartwell is going to have a concentration of bait in November this time of the year. So a Tugaloo, Seneca River, you know. Lots of bridges. Anywhere you find a bridge, you're going to find a pile of bait. And then also, I can tell you this, that the biggest population of bait fish happens in the lower to mid-lake section. So for me, you know, I'd really be concentrated on the dam to the mouths of all both rivers. And that's where I'd be looking for fish, and look for the bait fish. You know, when you see them jumping, when you see them on your graph, they're the kind of areas you want to fish.
Yep.
Bait's key.
Excellent. Well, hopefully that gives you guys a good place to start down there that are going to be fishing for the championship here shortly. And, man, there's lots of bridges there on Hartwell.
I forgot all about it. A lot of bridges. Piling after piling.
Yeah.
I was thinking of so many that I've always passed. I'm like, geez.
It's nice. I mean, if you can go catch, like, 8 or 10 pounds really quick, that'll, like, freeze you up to do other shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good feeling, man. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind catching, you know, like, you know, you got 9.5 pounds. Then you go do it, whatever, you know?
Well, I remember fishing Hartwell and that bridge pile pattern, piling pattern years and years ago, and I dropped a shaky head down.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty solid.
Could get him to bite.
Yeah.
Did DeSenko get mad at you?
I didn't. DeSenko wasn't around then.
Okay.
Last time I fished it. I'm 100 and hadn't been invented yet. Or maybe I had it in my boat and refused to throw it.
Pete was at the original Woodstock concert.
Yeah.
If you don't know.
Yeah. It was just after that. And are we using the stick bait with your weighted hook? What's the best bridge piling bait?
I mean, there's a lot. I think the Maxent General on a shaky head is on a flick shake is good. I think a fluke is good. I think a drop shot's good. There's a lot of good baits on a bridge pilings.
I think I would probably go. I would cut the General down. and put it on the net head.
Net head. Oof. Amazing. You get bites. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of bites.
John, look at him. All about that net rig.
All vicious. About it now.
Vicious.
All about it.
Going to be going Chickamauga catching 35 pounds on a net rig early this spring.
Conversion.
Coming up in 2020. And I will also want to give a correction out to Optimum Bait, because I've been saying Optima. What is Optima? Are they like the battery company?
That's the battery.
Yeah, blue tops.
And they're the worst.
Damn.
Those batteries are the worst. If you're watching right now, never buy Optima batteries. They're terrible.
Goodness gracious.
Man, I've tried those things. Becky. They are the worst.
I can smell the smoke from that bridge
Do
burning.
Do not use those batteries. They are terrible.
Bridge is on fire. Pete,
Edwin Evers uses them, and he lies. He's using like regular AGMs from Walmart. Don't buy those Optimas. They're terrible.
All right, don't listen to that, but the Optimum Baits is part of the Bass University package for all annual subscribers. 4 and 6 inch swim baits, the Baby Boom and the Boom Boom swim bait, Ike's Quotient tackle box, Bass University hat. That's the package. Optimum Baits.
Edwin Evers pecans.
That is so worth the sign up right there.
It is.
Get some swim baits. Get a hat. Get a quotient box. I mean, if you're a co-angler particularly, that quotient box is the deal. The large size quotient box you can just get on somebody's boat, fill all your key tackle up in that box,
take it with you,
and you're good to go.
That's
and you can swap the trays in and out. You can have baits in the trays, pull them out, put a different tray in. It's the
real deal.
Tell them, Rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the real deal.
That is.
Yeah. Come on, let's sell.
By the way, I think the next Bass U Live we're looking to set up is going to be all predicated on that
co-angler.
The co-anglers.
Yeah. Wow. Look for that coming soon.
That's a cool show.
It's probably going to be the November show. It might be December, but we're going to let you guys know.
I'm going to do 3 hours on how I outfish John Cox from
the back of his boat. Apparently, we have many others that can join in that party.
Yeah.
Justin Kim.
Fill this whole table with them, probably.
All co-anglers that have caught more than John Cox in a day of fishing.
It seems
like it's me. Like, anytime I'm smallmouth fishing, almost every single time my co out-catches me. Mm-hmm. You know? He'll have a half pound, two. It just always out-catches. It's a science. It's an art. It's a lot of fun. Our own professional fish head just won a Ranger boat. Just qualified for the All-American. Shout out to JK.
JK.
Nice work.
Holla.
Nice work, Justin.
That's stout. And it is really stout. JK's got some amazing statistics. He's really a phenom fishing from the back of the boat.
No doubt.
And it's an art. It's a science. And we're going to be talking about it.
It takes a certain kind of mentality.
Yeah. It does. It
really does.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest aspect.
You know, as much as it takes a certain kind of mentality to be up front and doing your deal, there's a different strategy that the co-angler has to be successful. And a lot of people think, hey, you know, it's just luck of the draw. You draw the guy that's on the winning fish. You go out and have a good day. I'll be flat out. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Guys like JK, they discern that. Because he consistently goes out and catches some good co-anglers. It doesn't matter who their draw is. Yeah. They go out and catch them.
Sometimes
you know? You've got to figure a way. Yeah. You got to figure a way to
and not let the guy in front of you and his bad decisions stupid moves get in your head.
I got an angler, a boater that is on them. What's my strategy? I got a boater that's not on them.
Mm-hmm.
What's my strategy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a really great conversation. So many of our subscribers fish.
I got a boater that won't tell me what he's doing. He has a breathalyzer built into his car. What do I do?
Showing up late to the launch.
Right. These are all things that happen.
That's great stuff. So we're gonna have that, and that's gonna be coming up real soon. We can keep you guys posted on the Bashy Live Co-Angler Show.
Ken Duke trivia question.
Ken Duke.
We're good?
You got another?
How many Forestwood Cups did Mike Iaconelli qualify for?
Wow.
How many Forestwood Cups did Mike Iaconelli qualify for?
I can tell you the...
I don't know if I know the answer.
I
Kellogg's boat.
I qualified for one Forest Wood Cup, and it was the last $1 million cup. Wow. It was $1 million prize.
Wow.
And,
that's a lot of money.
Damn.
And after day one, I had a limit, a squirrely limit that weighed 4 pounds, 15 ounces.
Wow.
Wow. South Jersey.
I was in the top 10.
Oh, my gosh.
I was staring. Wow. I was staring at $1 million bucks.
Oh, I
bucks.
Know that one.
Which yeah, one you was fished that? It too.
Yeah. It was in Pittsburgh. Oh. Three Rivers. And I'd like to have that one back. And
what place did you finish?
Oh, I don't know. 20s. Something like that. You know?
Ken Duke would beg to differ.
Is that not where I finished?
Ken Duke says double that.
All right, so we're gonna discontinue the Ken Duke trivia part of the show moving forward.
Sorry, Pete.
Oh shit, that's so funny.
No, but I remember it like so well, and my co-angler, we were on smallmouth, and he smashed them. He caught all big ones behind me, and I'll never forget that I couldn't make that adjustment to catch what he was catching. He was, you know, catching like 2, 2.5 pound smallies, which were gold in that tournament.
Yeah,
and he was culling, and I was struggling to get a limit.
What was he throwing?
He was cranking. Wow. He was throwing a micro crankbait.
Wow.
A micro crankbait.
Norman.
Yeah. And
crappie crank.
You know, he was throwing a Norman.
Wow. How about it?
Yeah. And
Norman.
And you know, I was throwing a small crank, and but they were biting that the even downsize further. But I just didn't have enough time to adjust, and I got spun out and took myself out of the game.
That Norman crappie crank was a deal back in the day.
The deal. Klunz. Klunz won a lot of Rick money Klun. On that.
Yeah, yep.
A lot of money on that crankbait.
Yep. He was onto the micro crank before there was even a term for it.
Well, you know? he won on it, and then the Japanese took that and like progressed with it, and like
true.
Now the you know those little Japanese crankbaits are the bomb.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah, it's all based off of that. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have a winner.
Oh,
winner, Mike Wiener. P. It, we all have those. Mike P. is the winner with the answer of 2. For Mr. Mike Iaconelli.
That is correct. That is correct.
Yes.
But, however, you only fished in one.
One. The second FLW Cup I qualified for was actually Pete Glusick.
Lake Champlain.
9/11. 9/11, it was when all the shit went down in New York.
Yeah.
And that tournament was canceled.
Yeah.
So we never got to fish.
Yep.
It was canceled the week of practice.
It was the last day of practice.
Yeah.
It was canceled. Yeah,
that's a crazy time.
Yeah, crazy
I'll never forget crazy that time. Because while you were doing that, I was on a Bassmaster tournament on Thousand Islands, and I had never been on a better pattern on Thousand Islands.
Yeah,
and the tournament was canceled, so we went out fishing that next day, and it's weird because now you talk about 4 pound smallmouth, they're like a dime a dozen, but back then that was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
And we went out and caught just giant 4 pounder after 4 pounder up there. Wow. And yeah, but that was a crazy time, but I couldn't come home. The traffic that you saw coming.
Oh, wow, yeah. Like, it was the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
We were, for miles and miles.
Well, I couldn't even leave because the whole border was closed. Wow. There was all kinds. Well, it was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll never ever forget it. But you were on Lake Champlain, Mike. We thought you were going to win that tournament too.
But, oh, yeah. It was a good bite. It was a good bite back then. Yeah.
Riz, we got any questions on the IM board?
Sure.
Other than last I checked, Dallas was beating up on the Eagles pretty bad.
Yeah. It was it's pretty bad. Got a question from JW. When you get dialed in on a bite, do you bring only those baits, or do you bring several other confidence baits with you during a tournament?
Well, I'll take that question. you know, here's the thing, man. You know, fish don't do the same thing for very long. So, you know, I'm always trying to, like, go to sleep at night thinking about, you know, what if can water temperature falls, if the wind blows, if boat if John Cox is in my cove that I want to fish, you know, what am I going to, you know, what's the next thing? So I'm always trying to prepare for what's happening next. So, you know, I bring the farm. That's what I do. I try to be prepared for the next thing. And that's what so amazes me about the simplicity of the way John fishes, but that's the way I do it.
You know, I've learned over the last few years is, I have made that mistake and have not brought enough stuff. I mean, Grand Lake this year, you know, day three I go out there and I didn't even bring my crankbait rod, you know, and then day four, I catch three fish day three. I go out day four and I bring the crankbait rod, you know, and end up really catching them on it. So, like, there are some times where I feel like, you know, it did hurt me, but there's been other times where I brought so much stuff. And I got out there, and I just never dialed in anything, you know. And
get too confused.
Yeah, and it just messes me all up. Get so it's kind of, it's hard to balance it. For me, it's hard to balance it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Says I'm like, I mean, back from, like, when we got started, Mike, it's like, oh, my God, I got to order 20 packs of this in case I run out.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to, you so over-prepare.
Over-prepare.
Right.
That it can kill you.
Yeah, there's not a worse feeling than having the one bait that they're eating and run out on the final day, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And not have any.
Has that ever happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 That's scary.
Well, there's a fine line between having too much and too little. You know what I mean? There really, really is. And I think for me, I think my biggest downfall in 23 years of doing it has been being overprepared in a lot of situations, you know? And that's where, like, John, when I look at what you do and your style, I'm envious because I feel like it's hurt me more in my career to have too many options, mm-hmm. too many baits, too many, you know, 30 rods in the locker, when if I would have just focused and stayed put,
right,
I could have did better, mm-hmm. you know. So there's a fine line between those, and you have to find that balance.
Right.
And is it too little or too much? You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a fine line there, man. Mm-hmm. Very fine line.
You got to find your strengths. Yeah. You know, you got to find your strengths as an angler, and that's the most important thing.
Right. Yeah.
And once you can do that, it's going to help you make those types of decisions. What do we have on the agenda left, BTC? Are we ready to close this show out?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out real quick to Founders. Amazing beer. If you're a beer drinker like I am, give Founders a try. This is the all-day IPA. We love it here at Ike Live. And, of course, Bass University. We love the Founders all-day IPA beer. Give it a try. It's great.
We saw, like I said this on the Ike Live, but we saw the Founders advertise the whole trip up and back from Lake Champlain, where we were filming for Bass U.
Yeah.
Founders was all over the place.
Airways. Yeah, it was great.
I find it to be delicious as
it
well.
It is delicious.
And that's a wrap.
Yeah, it's a wrap. I want to give a special thank you to our staff here tonight. I'm going to call them a staff. First of all, Jeff, sitting on the couch tonight, getting the lighting and camera work correct. Jeff, you're the man. Also
yes,
want to thank
are.
All our guys pushing the buttons back there, of course, Riz. A.K.A. Rizzo, A.K.A. Rich. We've got Zach and Brian DeCarpenter back tonight. Pushing buttons. Thank you guys for your time.
And we've, before we go, we got a new Ike Live show coming up.
We do.
Is that on the 30th of this month?
It is the 30th.
The 30th?
Yes, Pete, you're right.
And we we are going, it's the Halloween episode.
It's the Halloween special.
Every year.
We're going to make fools of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're going to play dress up.
And the 100th.
It is the 100th.
And the 100th show.
100.
Yes, October. It is Wednesday, October 30th, 7 p.m. Keep your eyes out for a brand new Ike Live Halloween special.
It's a Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
It's a Wednesday. Oh. I said Wednesday.
I did not know that.
It's Wednesday.
Okay.
It's going to be a great show.
And it's really cool. We're all going to be dressed up. We got a really cool concept. And it's like, remember the first year? Every show we had to get dressed up.
Every show.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
And we will have the Tackle Warehouse guys live in studio. We'll have Corey and Daniel live in studio with us. So it's going to be a great show.
Yep. Excellent. Well, join us for that. And, you know, just a monster huge shout out for John Cox for making the trip down.
Yes. Thank you, John. Thank you, guys, John.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Heavy traffic. Heavy traffic.
Yeah. 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 Good luck in both tours next year. I know you're going to do great.
Thank you.
Fishing shallow with six rods. It's going to be awesome to watch. It's going to be awesome to watch. And we're going to be filming with John tomorrow on the water. So Bass University subscribers, look for that. We're gonna be showcasing some of the things we talked about tonight and some things that John's really, really talented at, and we're going to be delivering that for BassU.TV. So if you haven't subscribed, go over there right now. Optimum Baits gift pack, $50 value for all our annual subscribers and 30 days free. So go ahead and check it out. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for all the staff. Thank you for the crew. Thanks for John Cox and family in tow. And we will look for you guys in November for a new Bass University Live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
See you guys.
Love you, baby.
Head over to BassU.TV, the premier learning destination in bass fishing. Over 600 in-depth videos geared to help you catch more and bigger bass. Use the promo code BassULive19 for 10 days free. That's BassULive19 to get BassU TV free for 10 days. Get the Bass University Advantage today.